Welcome to you all. It's a pleasure to be back at Holden again, and an honor to be here with my daughter. She's a senior in high school, so it feels like a special time for us, a special ability to get away, although we've seen about 10 minutes of each other since we've been here. So I'm just going to start with a song, and this song was written in the context has something loosely to do with what we're talking about today. I've called this session a return to harmony. That seems to be kind of what Holden is about, and our walk of life is about as well. It's getting back into harmony with each other, with God. And this song was written when my band was kind of falling apart. The drummer refused to tour with me unless I got a tour bus, which I couldn't afford. And, you know, infighting and stuff like that. And I decided that I kind of just had to take what I had, which was a song and a guitar, and build from there to get my harmony back. So this is called Spare Tire Orchestra. Back a suitcase and an old guitar. Throw in the drum and a saxophone. Traveled westward through the midwestern towns by the amber waves of the radio. I fed the dog, did you switch off the lights back home? Swear I left something behind. Trouble's got a way of showing up. Right now's the last thing on your mind. Wall clock, my hands are stubborn. Twice a day I'm right. I'm a three-legged dog, but I can wag my tail all right. I'm broken down on the highway, not a town in sight. But I've got my spare tire orchestra. I'm ready for you. Worked so hard to be sure and shelter, keep those plates spinning left and right. Sometimes it's just a smile that makes your day. Sometimes a song can save your life. I'm a wall clock, my hands are stuck, but twice a day I'm right. I'm a three-legged dog that I can why my tail alright? It's not the pretty love songs that keep a love alive, but a spare tire orchestra get back in and drive. La 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 la. La 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 It's called Spare Tire Orchestra. My wife gets thanks for us coming this week. I don't know if India would have come if she didn't hear that there was balmy weather up here. So she sold this really well. And I've been kind of watching the scene on the website. I had really wished to come earlier and catch more of Paul Rohde's writing seminar. But I read through the notes that he sent me, and Paul and I got a chance to talk the last time I visited Holden. It was such a great experience being up here with everybody. One phrase really caught my eye, though. Being at a certain place on my own pilgrim journey, transcendent practices lead to boundary-breaking experiences as they invite us to reach beyond our comfort zones into the new and mysterious world of the other. The road for me of the last 3 months has been an incredible array of, solid to the wall, pedal to the metal work. And I'm a very lucky man, I feel, because I get to do music for my living, but it has just been overwhelming, just the amount of stuff that's been going on between touring with Jimmy, and I've been working on a Beatles record, actually, of 15 Beatles songs that are orchestrated for strings, and that was a ton of work and a lot of investment of time and all. So it's an interesting time for me, and also a pivotal time, because my one son is at college and India's looking to go on to school next year. So it's kind of a strange time where overflowing and emptiness is meeting. I'm feeling empty because I am so full right now, and empty because I feel transitions around me leaking out of my life. And I guess, as Paul described in some of his talks, that liminal space of emptiness maybe is just an ideal time for beginnings to happen. I may need some used car salesman to tell me that again a couple times, because there's always a certain amount of grieving you go through in emptying. But we've seen time and time again that it is time for beginnings as well. My transcendent experience, personally, with music happened in India when I was with my missionary parents. I was just 5 years old, and they bought a phonograph record player, and with it some Beatle 45s that they brought to the home. And, you know, I had known Amazing Grace and Abide With Me and All the Beautiful, which I just absolutely love to sing in church, and all of a sudden, last night I said these words to my girl, you know, all of a sudden, Please Please Me got my area below the hips shaking. That's something Amazing Grace had not done yet, so. In that light, I got the music spark and walked on, and I always had important mentors and partners to push me forward, people I love dearly and people that love me in return dearly. And also through many walks, especially the early years of the rock and roll scene, we got signed to a record company, contract way back in the late 80s. And the early years with Jimmy were pretty crazy, just being in the major leagues all of a sudden, in party years as well. And so I went through some real ending up in dead ends, if you know what I mean. And again, the dear grace of God pulling me back, the love of good people, saints, all of them, kept me back again to try to find that one path. So the question arises again and again, how do we walk our path? It's in my case, it's been with a lot of stumbling and tripping and falling. But there's a particular passage that I want to go to just briefly in Micah. Micah 6:6 that talks about walking, and it starts with a question, and it talks about what can I do, what God do I do, I guess it's to achieve your favor, or how do I walk the true path, how do I walk the path you want me to walk, and the response is do kindness, do justice, and walk humbly with your God. And it's a really, really moving and meaningful passage for me, because I just came from a German family of overachievers, and we work so hard to get things right. Even when we give theological testimonies, we work so hard to get it right, but we really have trouble getting out of the way when it means walking humbly with our God. and accepting our failings as well. So this one's hits me back over the head, and I'd just like you to play you a song of mine. Talks about this, is called Ever Walk With Me.
The harmony, justice, the beat. You've turned my footsteps to dancing. Oh, ever walk with me, Lord. How can I come before you? What worthy gift could I bring? Feast could I offer? What songs of majesty sing? Lift this heart of sadness into gladness by your feast. Before I can come before you, you come to me. Justice the beat, you've turned my footsteps to dancing. Oh, ever walk with me, Lord. In my work I grow weary, lost on this road of desire. Path that leads homeward to bring me back to your fire. Lift these eyes of sadness into gladness by your peace. I am lost and weary, come shepherd me.
Can I ask for some input here to what you might give as a definition for harmony? What do you call harmony in either musical terms or harmony between you and a mate or you and your family? Does anybody have any input on that? Does anybody have any more input on that?
Yeah. I guess harmony for me is more like when people from all different backgrounds and all different lives, they still kind of try working together and still flowing and still working together to kind of accomplish like a final goal, I guess, or something like that. So even, I just also just kind of see harmony here in Holden. Like we all come from different walks of life, but we all work together to kind of keep this village afloat and also worship together too and everything. So I don't know. So differences, the immunity too at the same time.
Yeah, a real active description of out of differences comes build harmony gets built. Harmony gets practiced and
when it works, the hair stand up on the back of your neck in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's better than Merriam Webster, yeah.
For me it's recognizing there are brothers and sisters.
Brothers and sisters? Family.
When things line up in a way that seems grounded. Mm.
Yeah, it's.
When you're singing harmony, it doesn't work unless you're listening to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hear the other part.
Yeah.
Not like Carrie just said.
Yeah, and again, another some incredible dynamics mentioned. The act of listening, which is humility, which is love, and grounding, which is faith and trust, and harmony as work together, and the sense of family. I mean, these are all beautiful metaphors. I don't know why I'm saying anything. This is great. It's funny, because I looked, the dictionary definition is, you know, it's a little bit humorous, and the combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords and chord progressions having a pleasing effect. Four-part harmony in the barbershop style. The note played on the fourth beat anticipates the harmony of the following bar. So in that sense, a real strict, this sounds good together, we are consonant, we are. Okay, one thing I thought that was kind of interesting was that harmony, what's the opposite of harmony?
Dissonance.
Right, and you know, I thought, that's what I said too. And the more I thought about it, you know, harmony encompasses dissonance and consonance, though. I mean, if you really look at, I guess harmony would have many definitions. When harmony means we are perfectly in balance, yes, that could absolutely mean consonance. But it's kind of interesting that it's not always necessarily the opposite. It just means harmony allows for a meeting of some kind, an engagement. And that engagement can be consonant and it can be dissonant. It can be troubled, it can be grounded, it can be familial, it can be trusting, it can be smooth and engaging. To me, the more I thought about it, I think as a songwriter and as a musician, and there's a lot of you here that do that, even if it's part-time, it has to do with context, though. It has to do not with, because I kept kind of trying to think, what is good harmony, what is bad harmony, and I couldn't really put down barbershop, although I'm not a huge fan of barbershop quartets. But it's beautiful harmony if you like that kind of stuff. And I thought of some interesting examples where you'd have a chord like, that's what kind of chord, Rolf? What? It's a major chord, and if you do this. Most people, you would say that's dissonant, right? That's got tugs and pulls on it that bend you one way or another, and it kind of leaves you unsettled. But when you put it in the context of a song, look at me, look at me, missing a big happy and the getting of a tree. I'm so misty, holding your hand. It suddenly finds a place. And it moves us forward. It's not just dissonance. And not so easy to judge either as its own being. It belongs to something. And when it belongs in a way that moves us forward and creates forward energy and creates the experience of hairs standing up on the back of your neck, we've got something good happening. The opposite of that is this chord. It's a very consonant, it's a D major chord. But you know, we probably know the song, "Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head." If I keep playing that in that context, it has no movement whatsoever. And that's a beautiful chord. Well, why should it be so dull and embarrassing to play? So in a way, this major chord that in all of our eyes is very consonant, it creates dissonance in this situation. Raindrops keep falling on my head. I want it to move. Head. But that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. And on and on. It creates music that way. It's a relative thing. It's got to have something. And I'm not any musical scientist here. I'm just saying it has to have something to do with context. I got a chance to see John Philip Newell speak in Nashville, and I got three calls to attend. The first one, I was playing in a church in Brookville, Ohio. The pastor there said, "Hey, I'm going to hear John Philip Newell in Nashville. Maybe we can get together and have lunch." Like, great. I played a gig at the Bluebird in Nashville. If some of you know, that's a great songwriters club. Everybody plays there. And so we showed up. There's the pastor on the night before the conference. And he goes, "Hey, I'm going to hear John Philip Newell tomorrow. Did you think about coming?" And I'm like, "Well, got a bunch of stuff to do. Excuse me." And he said, "Well, I'll let you know how it is." I went home that night, and staying with us was a visitor, an old friend from Nashville, who showed up. He said, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to the John Philip Newell conference tomorrow, staying in my house." So finally I said, "Okay, I'm going to this thing. I guess I am being pointed in this direction." And he has a book called The Christ of the Celts. And I found it very different and also very reassuring, comforting, and it has given me kind of a different resonance to the spirit, to the role of Christ, the role of Christ, that sounds so small and petty, but I guess my way of seeing, my way of hearing. Also about where my pilgrimage as well, where the direction might be defined. I found it very comforting to hear his words. He talks a lot about how we are rooted and grounded in love, and he used a passage from Ephesians. And he talked a lot about Christ being our beginning, our song of the beginning. And just a little aside to this, he used this passage from Ephesians, and I told you already before that we're going through some changes at home because India's leaving to go to school next year as well. And he said, "I'm going to read to you a Bible passage, and I'd like to read it to you twice while we play some music, and I'd like you just to catch the words that jump out at you." And it was Ephesians 3. And he read most of the chapter, but I'm going to read a section of it if I could. "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And as a very interesting aside, I talked about India a little bit. This happened to be her confirmation passage that he read. And it was a little bit one of those, another synchronicities. And I thought about it and how I wanted it to be those specific verses that were her confirmation verses. But he said specifically, sometimes what you hear first is the spark that jumps out at you will not be the words that finally stick with you. So I've been going through a lot of this toiling and roiling over the fact that life is turning here. What really jumped out at me was that you may know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And the passage goes on to say that it's more than you can know, more than you can ask. And it was a very moving experience. But I really, really gained strength from his vision of the ground, the groundness of our being. So often, his observation that so often we see our relationship to God as needing to rise up, our church steeples rise. Many think of, you know, heavenly bodies, the heavenly sainthood. But in Celtic tradition, there is a union of our nature and God's nature, in that we were not just created by God, but of God. And Paul says in Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts as you are rooted and grounded in love. That's going down to the fundamental of what we are made of. Made of God and Christ, our song of the beginning. I don't know why, but it hit me as an incredibly comforting passage, because so often I feel inadequate within the requirements or my walk, my spiritual walk. And to know that I could empty right now in my life, as I described to you, and still be full of all I needed was very moving. And this thought has resonance in music and harmony as well. I'm not, like I said, a scientist, but I've dabbled a lot in notes and music, and I just want to illustrate a little bit with music theory. The guitar here has six strings on it, and you can make harmony of this guitar. You can do simple chords, major and minor, but each string in itself has... Each string in itself does not only have a fundamental. We talked about rooted and being grounded in love. This is our fundamental of the string. If you go halfway up the string, it's an octave higher. If you go halfway up again, another note. Let's see if I can get some more up. Do you hear all the notes that are coming out of that string? If I go, I played with a slide guitar player named Sonny Landreth. He's incredible. And one of the techniques he uses with distortion, it sounds pretty cool. All those notes exist in this string. We have a fundamental and then what's above it. That's the natural harmonic series. That's not just something you can pull off as a trick. That exists in every object. If I take this, some are not very resonant. There we go. You can hear a fundamental. Can anybody sing the fundamental? There's a note above that. Can you hear it? I also hear a... In that note, in that drum, is a chord. We hear the fundamental, and that fundamental is its strength. That's its strength. But it has a chord on it. I don't know if I'm going to be... Is this the cross here? Can you strike the cross with a Jamaican tone?
It's a
sculpture.
There we go. Can you hear that one?
Yeah.
You got those? You got all those notes in it. If you... take your... Have you heard of throat singers? And they bend their mouth, they make an extremely low tone, and they bend their mouth and make all the pitches. It's because all those pitches exist within that one note. And what notes get the emphasis are how we get our tone. So it hit me that basically we're not just trying to reach harmony together. One, we're not just supposed to make harmony, but we are made of harmony. We are made of all these notes that make up that chord. And we have a resonance. And often that resonance is painful with other people that we don't harmonize in just the right way. Because amongst these are a lot of dissonances as well. But we are made of harmony. If you would go and write notes up from the very bottom, it goes as an octave, then a fifth, another octave, then a third. And the harmonic series continues to go up past beyond what we can hear. And the interesting thing I found was that it's not just our consonant, you know. You get all the notes of that scale, but it's not tempered. We're rising to the song of the birds if we follow it up high enough. And I thought that was a beautiful connection as well with nature. Because birds don't sing in tune to our tuning. They sing notes that they make. That's how they harmonize. And I thought, what a beautiful unifying element between us, that we are made of harmony. And it made a relationship to what John Philip Newell was saying for me. Because I try so hard to reach heights, I try so hard to accomplish things. When I empty myself, I realize I'm full already. It's all there. And now we open our arms to the expression of it. I'm going to do I'd like to do a little fun thing if I could with some singers here in a minute. Does anybody have the guts to get up here? And you don't need to sing a full song. Would you join us, Liz, to sing a note? I need some people that would be willing to illustrate some consonants and dissonance, if you would. Anybody else who can hold a steady note? That's all you need to do. You don't need to sing a song. Okay, India? And as many as you want, you can get up here. Whoever would like to sing, come on. Okay, so what I'm going to ask of you men, you don't have to do this, but if you can, if you have a falsetto, when I ask you to play a unison note, try to falsetto with women. If you can't do that, that's okay. Just sing what you're comfortable doing. Come on in. How about a hand for our choir? Okay. Can I please have you sing in unison in E? Just, and you have enough support around you to hold the note. If you need to grab a breath, grab a breath. A holding choir. We have a group here in consonance, in agreement, in unison, and it's a beautiful thing when it happens. I need two or three of you split, and I need two or three of you to go to and the others. Okay, that's beautiful. I could just hold it 1 second. And this is called the semitone, which is right next to each other. It's thought for years, hundreds of years, certain intervals were literally not allowed in chant singing. The tritone was the devil in music. The semitone was also thought to be an evil interval. They're exhibiting a semitone, which is very dissonant. It's because it's right next to each other. It's in nature, it's within them all, but it's a dissonance. The interesting thing is that in our, especially our Western harmony, the semitones describe where the key happens. You don't have a key unless you have the semitones. And there's two in every major key, so I'll do it in A since they're in A. There's that first one between the three and the four. Seven. Actually, they're doing E and F, so it'll be an F. So. Sing your notes, please. Okay, still dissonant, but it describes the key of F, though. It even describes, I guess, the key that of which is the four and the three and four, which would be C. Sing now. keep singing, please. Still dissonant to the ears, but put in a context, all of a sudden, they're rising to making harmony together. Okay, now come the real troublemakers. Okay. Can two of you take all of a sudden we got problems. Can you? Okay, let's do the E flat again. Louder. And what we do in our churches, at Holden, in our homes, at work, we rise and fall with our intervals to try to fight and make it sense, right? Can you do that? Can you fight with each other? It's louder, softer. Sometimes we even pull back and deny our own note because we figure we must be the wrong ones for singing it. Which is as much a crime as singing it too loud, I think. Can you sing your notes again, please? Okay, go ahead and do your intervallic fighting. Starts to be cacophony. What's funny is you walk into a bunch of jazz clubs and you'd be hired in 3 minutes. The interesting thing is that at this point, harmony becomes having to be split up and changed. And someone over here said, harmony means being able to listen to each other. And if we start to be able to listen and walk in our place, walk together, use the space around us, to share that presence and harmony, all of a sudden, melody and movement happen. You know, Donovan, oh gosh, here's the...
Any trick in a book now, baby, all that I can find.
Okay, can I hear your note?
Mm-hmm. Any trick in a book now, baby, all that I can find. Superman, Green Lantern, ain't got nothing on me. I can make a little turtle dive for pearls in the sea.
Okay, again, it's context. We change the context to be a part of a song. That's what I loved about the John Philip Newell talk, and what it meant to me is that we need to continue to go back to our song of our beginning. We are made of harmony, and we have all we need in that harmony, in the love of Christ, in the grounding and rooting in Christ, to make music together. What if we took Make a Joyful Noise and Make Your Joyful Noise again, once again, please?
I got those Make a Joyful Noise blues. I got those Make a Sweet Song. I can't seem to get it in tune, but I've got the old Make a Joyful Noise.
Well, not perfect, but it's a new song to gather us in and make the harmony find a context. Thank you, guys. We are not only made to seek harmony, but we are asked to, and we're not only meant to be harmony, but we are meant to be made of harmony. And Psalm 139 says it so beautifully. O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I take my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. I love that. I come to the end. I'm still with you. I go back to the beginning. And that darkness, surely we could substitute dissonance. Surely the dissonance shall cover me, and the light around me become night. Even the dissonance is not dissonance to you. I love how we are remade in the love of Christ that way. I'd like to sing another song, and then depending on time, we can either close or we can sing one together. This song is called Be, Etc. It started as I was walking around Washington, D.C. as a word game. Be love, be light, below, above, beneath, be words. And it goes like this.
Believe, be light, be love, just because all along you belong to this love song. This now, be friend, come what may. Dress up in because when below
Are we out of time? Do you want to sing one?
15 minutes?
15 minutes? Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, we can sing a lot of them. This is a song I worked with. In fact, we were talking about Hannah Glusenkamp. Who was talking about Hannah? Yeah, this is her dad and I wrote this one. We did a thing, a book of faith, a thing for Proverbs. And this was one of the songs we wrote for that. And these are Andy, would you mind writing this up there, please? The first one is, O Lord, our Maker. O Lord, our Maker. The second is, Lord, lift us higher. And the last is, O Lord, our new song.
What's the last one?
O Lord, our new song. And this is a response every time, so it goes like this. I did want to say one thing for you who have been writing, journaling. If anybody would like to team up on a section of their work or co-write on anything, it's a whole lot easier putting music to other people's lyrics than my own, so I'd be happy to help out. If anybody wants to check out what might happen if that comes together, we could line up a time to meet. And maybe then even at the concert Thursday night or whenever is a good time, tomorrow night, we could find a time to maybe bring some of those out if anybody's interested. And on top of that, you can just come up and see me, or if there's any comments or questions, or feel free. Yeah. Lynn?
Thank you.
Yeah. Does anybody want to add something to that? From what I've been doing all the talking, does anybody have any?
Let's do another one.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I think. This one's called Dirty Hands and Dirty Feet. It's kind of like to love someone, you got to get your hands dirty kind of thing. And it takes place in a computer or car showroom. And it takes place in your neighborhood.
Is there a part people can sing along
to? Yeah, oh, you know, you mean like a sing-along? Do you want to sing along or do you want me to sing one? Because they can sing along.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll do this one real quick, and then we'll think of something too. Yeah, think of one that everybody can sing. So anyway, you're in a car showroom wanting to go pick out the new shiny model, and they encourage you to get that, you know, that guarantee insurance plan that everybody wants you to get, and there'll be no problems. All you have to do is pay for it. And I really think that's how we approach so much in our society. Was it Nancy you were talking about, or who was talking? No, Joyce was talking about Africa, about the 60 pages they wanted her to print out to show up and attend a conference. And it's so funny how our vision, how our lens changes, doesn't it, to see things when a sheet of paper may be worth much more in another place, or just the resources that it takes to do that kind of thing, we have no regard for. So, anyway, this is called Dirty Hands and Dirty Feet.
Browse around the showroom, any make or model. You got the frills that you like. This one's fast as lightning, double up your free time. The color screens go a little white. Turn it on, start the fun, clear as day. It'll pixelate your pretty picture. Recommend the service plan. Why should you worry? We'll be there in a hurry. Boy, you get yourself a dirty hands, dirty feet. I'm over my head. It's been a mess of me, but it keeps me coming back to the way of love. Never stopped on easy street. You better walk through the muddy water to come clean. Tell you about why should you worry? We'll be there in a hurry before you get yourself with dirty hands, dirty feet. I'm over my head. It's made a mess of me, but it keeps me coming back to the holy road. Means crashing you and me. You better walk through the muddy water. Thank you.
muddy water. Oh, oh, to the muddy water. Don't pay me.
Is something maybe we could all sing along to. Yeah. Unless you got a request, if anybody's got something they'd really like to hear. This is a baptism song, and it was written for after seeing my son go through his confirmation class, and once again, Pastor Ron was in camp, stirring his hand through the water, and gave rise to this lyric. It had great resonance for me at that point too. I was in my early 30s, and had just entered into family life, and so I was thinking back on my rough and wild teenage years and my own wrestles with faith at that point. And I'd had a few talks with Brendan about that, and his fears about certain passages in the Bible that point to unforgivable sins and stuff like that. And I'm not like I said, I'm not a divinity grad, or I don't always know the interpretation, but it can be really scary stuff. And so he had confided in me several times. And it took me back to a time in my life too when I was really, really scared. I was practicing my guitar all the time as a kid because I was too shy to meet girls, and it kind of helped me get dates. So a friend of mine said, you know, you're playing your guitar all the time. What time do you have left for Jesus? How are you serving God doing this? You gotta. And I was just like, well, let's see how does this work. You know, how can I do this? And I went to a prayer meeting with him, and it was just frightened the pants off of me. And so I finally went to my mom, because questions were being raised about, are you saved? You know, are you? And it's just that real, real tough. And like Paul said yesterday, that the baseball bat of salvation was a toughie. And I went to my mom finally. I said, what is going on? And I just feel scared. She set me down and she gave me the most unscriptural scripture I had ever heard and said, you know, you can't move in north, south, east, or west far enough to escape these arms of love that have claimed you in baptism. You have already been claimed. It's not something you did. Now go get it, you know, kind of thing. That was the pep talk I needed. And so I'm in tears as Brendan's going through the whole thing himself, and the song came alive at that point.
Welcome, child, into our family. Washed in water, reborn and free. The sign on your forehead. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, we sing. Oh. goes out to near and distant lands. Come all you children into my hands. Grow like branches on the living tree. Wash the water.
Anybody who wants to work together on a song, don't feel bashful about getting together. And thank you.
Thank you.